And to tie in with it, in tomorrow's Sunday feature, poet Paul Henry presents a long overdue celebration of W.S. Graham, whose genius was acknowledged by T.S. Eliot, no less, and who influenced the work of Harold Pinter. As Pinter put it himself, "I first read a W.S. Graham poem in 1949. It sent a shiver down my spine. 45 years later, nothing has changed. His song is unique and his work an inspiration." As well as introducing Graham's life and work, the feature also explores reasons for his relative obscurity. Do not expect applause. The life and poetry of W.S. Graham is our Sunday feature, 9:30 tomorrow evening. Well, back to this Saturday afternoon, just gone 3 o'clock. Time now for World Roots. This week, it's highlights of a concert held at the Barbican last weekend at the London Jazz Festival. It's introduced by Lucy Duran.
Back in the mid-1990s, an intrepid young record producer, Nick Gold, was dreaming up a collaboration between two of his favourite musical cultures, Cuba and Mali, countries with incredible traditions and a long history of interaction. The plan was to bring two top Malian artists, the guitarist Djeli Mari Tunkara of rail band fame, and the Ngoni player Baseku Kouyaté, to Havana and record with Cuban musicians. But the Malians weren't able to get their visas in time and at the last minute were forced to cancel. And so Nick Gold and his team, already in Havana, instead gathered together a band of veteran Cubans who they pulled out of obscurity and retirement, resulting in the classic Buena Vista Social Club album, probably the best-selling world music album of all time. But the original idea for the collaboration lingered on. Now, 14 years later, World Circuit, Nick Gold's label, has launched the Afro-Cubism project. The two original musicians from Mali, Djeli Mari Tunkara and Baseku Kouyaté, as well as three other top Malian artists, Toumani Diabaté on kora, Lassana Diabaté on balafon, and Kassem Madi Diabaté on vocals, are featured together with one of the most distinctive voices of Buena Vista Social Club, Eliades Ochoa, from Santiago de Cuba. You'll know his voice from the anthemic song Chan Chan. About the music in the project, the kora player Toumani Diabaté has said, "On Afro-Cubism, I'm not playing Cuban music and the Cubans aren't playing African music. We've put together and made new music." And the music includes such well-known Cuban tunes as Al Vaivén de Mi Carreta and La Culebra, with Malian favourites like Jarabi and Mariama. So here they are at the London Jazz Festival, making their UK debut and their first appearance on World Roots, Afro-Cubism.
Thank you. Thank you. Merci.
Well, thanks for coming. This is Mali and Cuba together. It's not a new connection between the two countries. It's since, you know, the Mali get independence and a lot of countries in West Africa get independence. So we had a very good relation with Cuba, and also some musicians been taken from Mali, go to study music, how to write and read the music in Cuba. So it's this tradition we are now going, keeping moving. And next song is called Jelima de Rumba. It's the legendary guitar player from the Super Rai band, 51 years old, he's playing the guitar. Jelima de Tunkara. Thank you. Gelimadi Tunkara from the Super Rai Band in Mali.
I'm backstage now at the Barbican with Nick Gold, who's the person behind this whole project, Afro-Cubism. So how different is this from the original project that you were going to do back there in 1996?
Well, it's different in that originally the project was I would say it was smaller. It was Eliades and a rhythm section with Basoko and Gelimadi.
The guitarist and the Ngoni player from Mali.
That's right, yeah. So it was, and I think at the time, if we'd done it then, it would have been much more Cuban with, you know, solos or details from Mali. We might have had one or two pieces of Malian repertoire, but not a lot. And this time it's expanded greatly because we've also got Tumani Diabate on kora, Lassana Diabate on balafon, Kasima Diabate on vocals.
So none of whom are related, by the way. They're just all Diabates.
Yeah. There's a lot of Diabates on this. Yes. But also, especially having a singer enables you to increase the repertoire hugely. And also, it's very interesting because we've got these three ancient instruments playing within this fusion and playing Cuban music. But I mean, I was very pleasantly surprised at how much we got done at this. I mean, we got them together in one recording session, which was just 5 or 6 days long, and the music just poured out of them. It worked immediately. And, you know, each musician was offering repertoire and was offering suggestions, a huge amount of which worked. So within 5 days, we got an incredible amount of material. And now on tour, they seem to be gelling more and more together. So, you know, there do seem to be huge possibilities.
And all of this really comes out of your passion for the music of both Mali and Cuba, which you've always shown in your label, in World Circuit, because you've always had an ear for specially talented Malian and Cuban artists.
Of which there are a lot, but it is incredible, those two countries. I mean, you know, with these relatively small populations, they're not rich countries, but the amount of music that comes out of them is just unbelievable.
Maybe that's it. It's because they're not rich countries.
Maybe.
So maybe that's where the richness has developed in its music. So you have Cuban musicians from Santiago de Cuba. You have Malian musicians mostly from the southwest of Mali. How much of it is Cuba? How much of it is Mali?
Well, I think it's roughly 50-50 in the end, and it worked fantastically as far as that went. Is the Malians had some familiarity with Cuban music, so I think they found it quite easy to play the Cuban repertoire. And when they were playing the Malian repertoire, the Malians definitely seemed to open the doors to invite the Cubans in, and they would play sort of variations on tumbaos and so forth, and pieces that sort of locked together, like the Ngoni and the guitar.
I think the song that demonstrates best what you're talking about is Jarabi.
I completely agree.
Which is a Malian tune, but somehow the Cubans bring this a really beautiful kind of slowed down, stretched out groove to it.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's an old Malian song, but it begins with a quote from a Compa Segundo song called Makusa, which Tumani had heard when we were looking at the repertoire. So he brings that in at the beginning, and that theme repeats itself throughout the song. And, you know, there's wonderful solos from Eliades on it, from Gelimadi, these contrasting guitar solos on there. But it does have, like, as you say, this incredible sort of laid-back, languid feel, but it still grooves along like a monster.
Yarabilo, pronto yo vi cerquita de allí había una culebra mirando pa' mí. Yo grité, ¡ay, la culebra! Yo grité, ¡ay, la culebra! La gente está diciendo que ahorita se va, de pronto va a empezar todito a gritar. Oye, José, oye, José, ven pa' acá. Cuidado con la culebra, te muerde los pies. La gente está diciendo que ahorita se va, de pronto va a empezar todito a gritar. Oye, José, oye, José, ven acá, cuidado con la culebra que muerde los pies.
This is Eliades Ochoa, who's the leader of the Cuban part of the group Afro-Cubism, and who indeed was one of the original members, not only of Buena Vista Social Club, but of the planned first Mali-Cuba collaboration album that never happened, but that has finally come to light. So, Eliades, it's been quite a journey, hasn't it, from Buena Vista Social Club to Afro-Cubism.
Que es el, bueno, sale el famosísimo proyecto que llegó para quedarse, porque Buena Vista Social Club llegó en el momento que tenía que llegar, y llegó y se quedó. se quedará por los siglos de los siglos, amén.
Buena Vista Social Club was a project that happened exactly when it should have happened and will be with us forever. It's something that will remain for centuries.
Y ahora, después de esperar 14 años, viene, podemos decir que llega el Buena Vista original. La idea original es ahora afrocubismo.
And so, 14 years later, we go back to the first idea, the original idea, which is Afrocubism.
Por lo cual estamos muy contentos también de saber que se ha hecho algo, una deuda que teníamos pendiente, y que además de eso está muy bien, nos sentimos bien.
So we're very happy that we're finally paying back this debt that we owed, this project that had never come to fruition. And not only are we happy that it's happening, but it's really a good project. So what's it like to work with the Malian musicians? Do you feel common ground?
Bueno, ellos, tú sabes que Mali es una potencia musical. Y Cuba, ¿para qué hablar de ella? Otra potencia musical. Ahí los malienses, lo mejor que aportan, aparte de su profesionalidad, es la seriedad con que trabajan, el deseo de hacer algo bien hecho. Son un ejemplo como artista.
He says that you know that Mali is a powerhouse of music. And he said, I won't even mention Cuba. Cuba is such a powerhouse. And what the Malians have done, what they've brought to this project is incredible professionalism and seriousness of intent. And they've taken the music to another level.
Thank you.
Afrocubism, the legendary Lost Project, bringing Malian and Cuban musicians together, now finally realized in this concert and recorded specially for World Roots at London's Barbican as part of the London Jazz Festival. The musicians from Mali were Tumani Djebate on kora, Basa Kukuyate on ngoni, Kasemari Djebate singing, Jenimari Tunkara on electric guitar, Lasana Djebate on balafon, and Yakuba Sisoko on tamani, talking drum. The Cuban musicians were led by Eliades Ochoa on lead vocals and tres, with Jose Angel Martinez on double bass, Odit Osner Babastro on acoustic guitar and backing vocals, Eglis Ochoa on maracas and backing vocals, Jorge Maturel on congas, and on trumpets, Alain Antonio Dragoni Coturrello and Lenis Lara Castellanos. They have two more gigs coming up in the UK on the 2nd of December at the Usher Hall in Edinburgh and in June 2011 at the Royal Albert Hall. And the musicians have come back on stage now, and they're going to end with two encores, one from Mali and one from Cuba. Benzema, featuring the vocals of Kasemari Djebate, and Montoro, featuring Eliades Ochoa, one of the original members of Buena Vista Social Club that gave rise to this project, Afrocubism.
Merci. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Afro-Cubism, music from the concert held last weekend at the Barbican as part of the London Jazz Festival. And don't forget, you can listen to that programme again anytime over the next 7 days via the Radio 3 website. The programme was introduced by Lucy Duran and the producer was Roger Short. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's 4 o'clock and staying at the London Jazz Festival. A quick hop now from the Barbican to the South Bank and Jazz Library with Alan Shipton.
Well, welcome to the Purcell Room on London South Bank for a very special edition of Jazz Library as part of the 2010 London Jazz Festival. The person who is my guest today is a musician I've very long admired in a number of different contexts, going way back to records when I was avidly collecting M-Bass back in the 1980s, and I've admired her career and her work ever since. Please give a very special London Jazz Festival welcome to Gerry Allen. Well, Gerry, I suppose we should start back in that era, but in fact we're not going to start with the sort of M-Bass sound, but with you and your compositions, your piano playing, with a piece called When Kabuya Dances. What's the story behind this one, and how did it work out that you were fascinated with dance at the same time as playing the piano?
Well, early on as a child, I took a lot of dance lessons. I was actually interested in pursuing dance as a career, but it was something that I always found a great interest in terms of the discipline, making the body do those things that it necessarily didn't want to do, and the beauty of it, and understanding the power of music and dance together was always exciting for me. Growing up in Detroit, I met a wonderful woman named Jackie Hillsman, who had a company called the Experimental Movement. She was a mentor and also just a really important creative force in Detroit. And she came up with the idea of improvising dancers that would actually improvise with jazz musicians. So people like Roy Brooks, Dudley Randall, who's a poet, the great poet that passed, Marcus Belgrave, Donald Walden, important Detroit fixtures, were all a part of this. So I guess the combination of coming up wanting to dance and all of those interests, along with tap dancing, which I did as well as a young dancer, you know, continue to inform me today. So Kabuya Dances and the theme of dance has kind of gone through my work from the very beginning. Kabuya happens to be a really dear friend. I went to Howard University, and she was in the art department, and there was a lot of collaboration between the students in music and art and in theater. And just watching her work, the combination of all of those things together, the dance, the movement, the visual arts, all of those have been interesting to me. So Kabuya Dances kind of represents that time, just coming out of college and all kinds of doors opening, creative ideas and things like that.
Thank you.
When Kabir Dances from the album Twilight, released originally by Polygram and part of the Verve group of companies. And Jerry, quite a big cast there eventually, because as in many of her albums, not just one percussionist, but two or three, as well as you and the bass.
I used percussion a lot more in my early recordings, and I'm liking the sound of that. I'm kind of relating to the fact that I'm using a tap dancer now in my music as maybe a getting back to that sound of having percussion in the band.
Well, funny you should mention a tap dancer, because the next piece we're going to hear actually has a tap dancer featured from way back in 1986. But obviously this is an idea that's come back and back in your music, this fusion of different things. I was going to ask you, though, also about the structures of your compositions, Jerry, because there was a very good example of one of these pieces that sets up a vamp and then changes texture completely. And this is a characteristic of yours that you like, I think, to have more than one texture in the average piece.
Yes, I think those musicians that were on Twilight, I think that's Tani Tabal and Jaribu Shahid, those musicians were really interested in playing in mixed meters. And these are Detroit players. I think this is something that was of interest to a lot of us early on. So having the challenge of creating the relaxed feeling of 4-4, but playing it with different meters has always been kind of an exciting challenge. And so in my writing, I like the idea of the suite. I guess I do use that idea a lot, moving sometimes in a through-composed way, but also maybe within the context of that, using something that's cyclical, so that the intensity can be sometimes around the harmonic structure, but also around the intensity of the cycle.
The next piece isn't quite like that, in the sense that there are these quite long stretches for the tap dancer to set up rhythmic complexity. And then a very simple melody from Steve Coleman. And he's another colleague that you've worked with quite a bit over the years.
At the time, there was a group of us that became M-Bass at the time. It was just a group of young musicians that found support in each other, basically playing each other's music and trying out the same kinds of ideas around the mixed meters. And so this is around that same time period that we were all in Brooklyn and playing a lot of music together.
And the piece is called, surprisingly, The Dancer. Feet of Lloyd Story from The Dancer, and that's on the album Open All Sides, In the Middle on the Minor Music label. Quite hard to find now, but certainly worth seeking out because it really is a portrait of that time when all of you were working together. Jerry, we're going to move on. You've mentioned quite often so far the importance of Detroit and the kind of musical environment that was going on there. And Marcus Belgrave's name has already come up. We're going to hear him now working with you. And he's been something of a mentor for you, I think, throughout your career, hasn't he?
Yes, absolutely. And he was just celebrated by the Black Caucus in Washington about 3 weeks ago, along with Gerald Wilson. And they were given the Master's Awards or something of that nature. So I had a chance to see him, and we played together, some duo. And it's always such a joy. He's such a great musician. And it's like someone that you've known, I mean, many of us, I have to say, Kenny Garrett, Robert Hurst, Eli Fontaine, I think people like Regina Carter and James Carter. Many of us really benefited in immeasurable ways from the generosity of the Detroit musicians, and he was certainly that centerpiece that has kind of held the glue together on the scene.
He's also somebody who's a very original trumpeter. I mean, he doesn't owe allegiance to other schools of trumpet playing, it seems to me.
Well, I don't know if that's true in this music. I think we celebrate that connection of the root, you know. For instance, Clifford Brown and Johnny Coles, he talked about a lot as being influences. But the thing that makes him particularly special is the originality, the fact that he has created something original, which is very difficult to do.
And there's a chance to hear that now in a track called Night of Power from your Blue Note album, The Nurturer.